I'm Adam.
And I'm Mike.
Welcome to The Dad Experience,
a podcast where dads can connect
and openly share stories.
Here's what to expect on this episode of The Dad Experience.
Kind of in the bartender community, there's something known as a snackery, and this is a small daiquiri. So in the kind of sense of not over-imbibing, because I do have to drive home, I wanted to make basically this little half daiquiri. And daiquiris are very simple. They're basically, what is it, like two parts alcohol to one part citrus and sugar.
The Dad Experience.
Welcome again to The Dad Experience. I am very excited today. This episode's going to be a little personal, too. Not only do we have a great guest on, but it's also a college friend of mine. Again, we've had that on a couple times, but we have on today Nick Britsky. Nick is the founder and content creator for Nick Drinks. He does a lot around the Metro Detroit area as well as online about just different drinks and cocktails and preventative measures you can take with cocktails and just creating great cocktails for any occasion. He's done a lot for the community here in the Metro Detroit area as well as online. You'll definitely visit him. We'll have all his information in the show notes, and we'll talk a little bit about where you can find him at the end of the show. He also works for Our Detroit as a digital strategy director. So we're going to get right to it because we're gonna talk cocktails, and we're gonna actually mix a cocktail here right on the air. So Nick, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yeah, thanks for being here. I'm really excited. Can you give us a rundown, like maybe an elevator speech of what you kind of do with Nick Drinks?
Yeah. So this kind of came out of something that started in college, so that's very, you know, appropriate. But what it was is my kind of approach to exploring cocktails. Detroit kind of got the craft cocktail movement, and kind of using air quotes, a little bit later than kind of the East Coast and the West Coast. So with that, this all kind of came to fruition, you know, 8 or 7 years ago, with people really kind of discovering and getting more excited about cocktails again. Mm-hmm. Really historically, kind of the 80s and 90s were tough on cocktails. It was a lot of cosmopolitans, vodka drinks, a lot of things that were very simple. They'd kind of get you drunk. They were pretty sweet, but there wasn't a lot of artisticness to them. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that artsy stuff really was happening in the food, but it didn't make it to the cocktails, at least here. So as I kind of got re-excited about cocktails post-college, I started following Sugar House and the Oakland and eventually Standby and all these places that were really opening up about that time.
And those are establishments here in the Metro Detroit area.
Yeah, those are kind of the big cocktail bars. And, you know, even before that, just slightly before that, Michael Simon out of Cleveland opened up Roast in Detroit. And he kind of took a chance on Detroit. He kind of read the tea leaves a little bit and saw that it was coming back. And opened a fairly pricey restaurant in a new hotel in the Book Cadillac. And they started doing some cool cocktails there, and a lot of people trained and kind of moved on. Sugar House opened, Oakland opened. Cool people did stuff there. They trained and they moved on. So this kind of spiderweb effect happened, and more places opened to the fact that just recently Our Detroit did this cocktail bracket where they pitted 32 of the best bars against each other in like a voting kind of setup. And they pick the winner to, you know, go on and be successful.
Nice. That's cool. That's really cool. And it is. It's really interesting. It's funny because, you know, over my years of different things that I've done out in New York City, that I've had to go out and do some events and different stuff like that, I've always been able to go to these craft cocktail bars that were really neat. You know, they mix. They do a lot of the different, you know, I don't know what you would call it, the artisan stuff behind the bar that they do with the drinks as they present them and the presentation. And I always thought it was neat. Or the little, I can't remember what the one that I really enjoyed was. It was in the back of a hot dog stand in New York City.
PDT.
Yes. Please don't tell, right? Yeah. So that was really cool. That was a cool experience. And then to come back here, and when I moved back to the Metro Detroit area, you know, some of that stuff was starting to emerge in the early 2005. And just start to go like to the Oakland and places like that. And why do you think it took so long to catch on here? Do you think it's just because we were just more into the foodie end of things, and then that kind of came as that kind of grew? Or
a little bit of a supply and demand. You know, people weren't necessarily pushing for those things, probably because they didn't know about it. So as more people traveled, as more people saw what was possible, you know, kind of the older population kind of remembered some of those classic cocktails. Those started coming back in. But really, you know, our generation in college, that really wasn't there. We were still kind of, you know, enjoying the cocktails from the disco era and things like that. So to find it, kind of find these new cocktails and reinvent them, it took a little time for her to kind of work it back into the system. Mm-hmm. So people started using fresh juices. They started making their own syrups. They started exploring some of those strange alcohols that had been around for years, but then also making new ones. So it took some time to kind of do that. I think people had kind of explored food a lot, and maybe this gave them something new to kind of look at, to kind of explore. And so now where we had these bartenders that were, you know, just kind of slinging drinks for the masses, it allowed them to kind of spread their creativity a little bit more. More competitions opened up. There was just more avenues to kind of explore that art.
Mm-hmm. So I know we're gonna talk about a cocktail. We're going to make a cocktail here. But, you know, as we get forward, maybe we can talk a little bit about we're getting into the holiday season. Yeah. And what are some good things to, like, make your holiday party stand out? Because I've seen some of what you do, and you're so creative and have some great ideas and ideas that are doable by everyone. I've seen you do a lot of your stuff through Nick Drinks, and a lot of stuff is very doable. A lot of times you get these recipes and they seem daunting. But mm-hmm. When you see it, it's just much more, I don't know, it just seems, you make it simple, or not simple, but easier for the layman.
And you can go really crazy really fast. You look at all the ingredients that are available to you. You know, to set up your own little sugar house bar would not only take up a ton of space, it would cost you tens of thousands of dollars, and you wouldn't get that full use out of it. You know, you'd be drinking for the rest of your life and not get through all that. So what I really recommend is finding a couple things that you like. Start with maybe one cocktail that you really are a fan of. Take that base spirit and maybe find what other cocktails can be done with that. So then you're kind of slowly expanding. It's kind of like Legos. You know, buy a couple pieces mm-hmm. you like and kind of expand out from there. For the holidays, if you were to make these craft cocktails for your party, you would never leave the bar. You would be back there the whole time. You would never get to meet your friends, your family. It is not a fun experience. I've done it. I've been there. You know, if you want to do that, hire a bartender. And there are certainly many out there that'll do that. What I would recommend is do kind of the DIY approach. So maybe you're a big fan of gin and tonics, and so is your family and friends. Set up a gin and tonic bar. Get a variety of gins from around the area. Get some ones that are maybe some Old Tom, some London, some of the Plymouth style, maybe the American style. So you have a different variety. Put out some different tonics. There are a number of different tonics now out on the market. Put out some different citrus and fruits. Maybe you could put some other things to add to it, like if you want to add some Camparis or some Amaros. That just allows your family and your friends to experiment a little, and you're not stuck behind the bar. That works the same with like Old Fashions or Highballs, just straight up bourbon. If you want to do a bourbon bar and put a whole bunch of bourbons out, super easy, and that appeals to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. On top of that, I love punches. I love like mass serve cocktails. I actually built a kegerator specifically for serving cocktails, and we keg up cocktails and take them to parties.
Wow.
But you can do that just with a punch bowl, and punch bowls are pretty much at every single thrift store you go to.
Right.
I have a number of them at my house. Fill it up with something tasty. Something that tends to work is pick a base spirit like a rum, a spirit, or a vodka. Add a fruit juice to it. Add a neutral soda like a ginger ale or a Sprite, and then top it off with some sparkling wine. You're pretty good with that combination, and that's the basis of a lot of punches. I also am a big fan of either taking bundt pans or old school Jell-O molds, putting water in there, putting some fruit in there, freezing them, and then you have an ice ring you can put in the punch bowl, keep it cold for a little bit longer. Plus, it looks really cool, and everyone thinks you're a wizard because you do that. So that's really two fun, easy things that are simple. It'll appeal to a lot of people. In that same vein, you could also do eggnog for the holidays. I actually am a big fan of Alton Brown's eggnog recipe because it's an aged eggnog. So you put it in there for 2 months plus, and everything kind of comes together and mellows, and the alcohol settles up a little bit. And because of that high alcohol content, you don't have to worry about any, you know, salmonella or things like that. It's all going to get killed off. You know, don't quote me. I'm not a scientist, but
right.
That's kind of what he says. And that I think is super yummy. You can't drink a ton of them, but it does kind of add to that festive holiday spirit.
Mm-hmm. So what are we going to make today? What do you got there today?
Kind of in the bartender community, there's something known as a snackery, and this is a small daiquiri. So in the kind of sense of not over-imbibing, because I do have to drive home, I wanted to make basically this little half daiquiri. And daiquiris are very simple. They're basically, two parts alcohol to one part citrus and sugar. I go a little bit sweeter with my simple syrup just because I like it just a little sweeter. You shake it up. You strain it into a glass. I'm going to split them into these two adorable little coupe glasses, and then we'll have something to sip on.
Awesome. Yeah. So your simple sugar, while you're kind of doing that, and I'm sure you're going to tell us a little bit what you're doing. Do you make your own simple sugars then? Is that what your syrups? Not simple sugar.
No, and I think this is a great definition of the craft cocktail movie because I'm using fresh juice. I'm sitting here juicing some limes right here and making your own simple syrup, which is just water and sugar equal parts. You heat it up just enough so it combines together, and then you let it cool. And that's really all it is. I mean, that bottle of simple syrup that you probably buy at a grocery store for $4 to $6 is probably 30 cents in materials.
Wow.
So, and you know, there's a convenience factor. I've definitely bought some simple syrup, and I'm like a super, you know, super bind. But, you know, otherwise, you're good to go.
So right now, you're just using a shaker, and you had a press, I guess. I don't know what you would call it exactly.
Yes, we had a little citrus press right here that I just cut the limes in half and juiced them. We're going to add 3/4 to my, the shaker, the tin shaker. I'm going to go with a little bit more than 3/4 of an ounce of the simple syrup. And then we're going to add 2 ounces of rum. You can use any rum you like. If you like Bacardi, Bacardi's, you know, fine, and that works well. I actually grabbed this Brugal, which is, where are they? Dominican, I think. Don't quote me on that. They're going to yell at me. Where is it from? All right, it's Brugal. Don't quote me on
They can look it up.
They can look it
they
up.
They can look it up.
But what I like about Brugal is a little bit drier. It's not a super, super sweet rum. And it has some nice age to it. It's not super pricey. It comes in this cool bottle. So that's great. We are also very lucky to have 2 James that makes their really funky rum that is called Dr. Bird. And I see that quite a bit all over Metro Detroit.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. So this is definitely something easy that you could do. Now, is this something that you could – do you have to have it shaken, you know, every time you drink it? Or is it something you could do like you were talking earlier? Could it be something that – I guess you could just set it up and have people do it? Or can it be pre-made and be done? Or do you have to like kind of
– So if you're going to pre-make this, what I would do is dilute it a little bit.
Okay.
Because if you're going to pre-make it and chill it, you're not going to have that dilution that I just got from the ice right there.
Right.
But, yeah, nothing stopping you from pre-making it. You're not going to get a little of that texture, that frothiness, some of that good mouthfeel. But, yeah, nothing stopping you from doing that. I think the big thing is just to make sure you're using a fresh juice. Make sure you're using a good simple syrup. Make sure you're using a good rum. That is all going to go a long way.
Do you do anything specific when you're picking, like, your fruit or anything like that? Are you looking for anything specific? Does it have to be ripe, or does it just have to be just turning ripe, or does it have to be not quite so ripe? You know what I mean? Because obviously you get a lime now here. So specifically when you're looking for a lime, do you just go and grab, or are you like looking for that right lime to make your simple syrup?
I mean, I tend to grab kind of anything. I mean, I am not super picky when it comes to my citrus. Mm-hmm. Boy, I really filled that all the way up to the top. I'm sorry.
You're okay.
Here, let's do a sip and then cheers.
Yeah.
Do a quick sip. And kind of reverse it. There we go.
Cheers.
So that turned out pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from a citrus standpoint, you know, I'll look for something that's fresh and green and kind of use my, like, ape mind to find a piece of fruit. You know, but really, if it's super, super hard, you're not going to get a ton of juice out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard some people like microwaving them, some people like rolling them.
Really? I've never heard the microwaving thing.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends what kind of abuse you want to put on your fruit. You know, rarely I will use a bottled lime juice, but there is such a mechanical taste that comes from it. I really try to use fresh if I can.
I agree.
There are some grocery stores that will juice them. So if you go to some really high-end grocery stores, you can buy it pre-made, and that would be good for a party, something like that. But the diehards actually will not juice their lime until right before. Because they do taste a kind of a cardboardish effect that'll come from it.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they'll juice their lime ahead of time, but you'll see on some of the bigger bars, especially the ones where you're paying, you know, $15 plus for a cocktail, they'll juice it right in front of you.
Mm-hmm. So looking at this cocktail right here, I mean, there's the right amount of booziness to it. I don't know if that's the right term. I'm not a drinking aficionado, but it seems like there has to be a little bit on top of what the flavoring is, and it's just got the perfect amount of flavoring to me. So what would you say something like this would be content-wise? Would it just be straight up whatever's in the bottle, right?
Yeah, so you're looking at 2 ounces of booze, which we split in half, so you're getting an ounce of spirits, so kind of a small shot. But we're basically making a rum sour. So you got you have the sour, you have the sweet, you have the spirit, and really that's it, and that's all a daiquiri is.
Yeah.
Margarita is basically the same thing with a little bit of Cointreau in there as well, and that's your sweetness. So there, many of the cocktails are actually based on like four or five simple cocktails, like those kind of motherland cocktails, and then they're just variations of all of them. So really, if you learn those cocktails, and I don't have off the top of my head right now, you can actually use them as a foundation to go off and build all these other cocktails. There's the IBA, the International Bartenders Association. They have defined, I think it's 72 base cocktails that are kind of the modern and the classic cocktails that every bartender should know. And by learning those, that gives you a really, really good foundation for most of them. You could work at a lot of bars with that. There'd probably be a couple others you'd want to add in your repertoire, but that would be a great, great foundation for a lot of bartenders.
Good. We're going to take a quick break. Don't forget that the Dad Experience is part of the Parents On Demand Network. You can catch us on their podcast app. You can download that app at the iTunes Store, the Google Play Store. Stick around after the break. We're going to talk more with Nick. We're going to talk a little bit maybe about his setup and kind of what an entry setup would be for maybe some folks. And then we're going to also talk about maybe taking care of our body and not over-imbibing over the holiday season, because we know that's a tendency. Getting together with family and friends, sometimes that can be a party or some kind, you know, and we kind of overdo it sometimes. So we'll stick around after the break. We'll talk a little bit about all those great things. Welcome back to the Dad Experience. Great show so far. One of my favorites already, because you know we're having great cocktails and having great conversation and just having a good old time here. It is the holiday season, depending on when you listen to this though, but we are releasing it during the holiday season. So we know that there's a lot of parties coming up. We've talked a little bit about it on the front of the show. You talked about how it can be really expensive if you have set up a whole bar for craft cocktails. So right here in front of us, can you know, we talked a little bit about what you have. You have a shaker. You have some measuring. I don't want to tell you. You could tell the audience, because I don't want to get the wrong terms if they're going to go and look this stuff up. And maybe you can run down maybe a simple setup of what people can go and get to have a successful party.
Absolutely. A lot of these things you can order online very easily. But if not, I would hit up either like a restaurant supply store. Like if you're in Metro Detroit, there's a Quippers in Southfield that is great. Or you can find some great of this vintage stuff, which I'll talk about in a second. There's a place called Hue in downtown Detroit that I almost call like this bachelor supply store. They have great stuff for shaving and drinking, just general modern furniture. It's a really great store to pick up these tools. And one of the glasses I actually have in my bag is from there. But, the basic setup is pretty easy. I would say you need a stirring glass of some sort, which could totally be a pint glass. That works. A spoon. Get yourself a good bartending spoon, something long.
What signifies? Just a longer spoon?
Yeah, it's a longer spoon. It tends to have a twist. Mm-hmm. Because I'm left-handed, the twist tends to be the opposite of what I want. So maybe someday I'll find a left-headed spoon. But basically that long spoon, if you've ever tried to stir like a milkshake with a regular size spoon, your fingers get caught in there really easily. Mm-hmm. So having a long spoon gets it out of the way so you can stir that ice. That'll allow you to get most of your stirred drinks. And you want to stir a drink when it's just spirits. So if you look at the martini, you know, the classic shaken, not stirred,
it's
supposed to be the other way. It's supposed to be stirred because it's only spirits.
Okay.
For shaken drinks, you're shaking when you have a sugar or a juice to incorporate it. So the daiquiri we just made had both. That's why we shaked it. The shaking style that I like is a little more of the professional setup. These are the tins. It does take a little bit of skill to use them because you're trying to make a vacuum when you push them together. And then once you've made that vacuum, you have to pull it apart when you're done. And that does take a little kind of mental thought to get that process right, because if not, you're spraying cocktails all over the place. You can get the Boston style, which is like the three-piece, and that has the little top, the middle that has the strainer built in, and then the bottom. And that, I would say, is a good entry setup. I would avoid, though, the tin and the glass. There are a ton of bars that do that, but glass has a tendency to break, and it just, you don't want to get in that habit of using the glass for shaking and ice. It's not a good habit to be in. With this kind of the professional tin setup, also getting yourself a Hawthorne strainer. This guy, I got that with the little spring on it. That'll allow you to strain the product out. You can, some of the bartenders that are moving really quickly, they won't use one. They'll just kind of crack the tins a little bit. You tend to get little pieces of ice. So, it depends on your preference. I went so far as to actually pour it through this little strainer right here to really get all the ice out, get that super smooth feel. That's kind of an advanced tool, but if you want that, go for it. Get yourself a good jigger. There are tons of jiggers out there. Most of them kind of have the one on the bottom, two on the top, or one on the bottom, one and a half on the top. This one is a Japanese style, so it's very, very skinny. And on the inside, there are actually lines that dictate some different measurements. So this one jigger becomes five because of all the different measurements in there, and I think is way, way more useful. I actually have a smaller one for doing some fussier measurements for like halves and, you know, thirds and things like that. But yeah, I'd say jigger, tins, the spoon, the stir, the Hawthorne strainer, you're in pretty good shape. You could get yourself a juicer like this. This is kind of like a Mexican style juicer, but they also have the ones that you kind of ream, like the reaming style. The automatic ones, a lot of the professionals aren't a fan of because they almost taste like a cooked taste out of it. But if you don't notice it, get yourself an automatic one. They make one like for your KitchenAid mixer. God, what other tools? You can get a muddler if you see yourself muddling drinks.
What is muddling? I have no clue.
So if you like yourself a mint julep, what you're going to do is you're going to put those mint leaves in the bottom of your glass, and you're going to kind of press them with this little wooden bat.
Okay.
And that's going to release some of the oils and add a little bit more flavor from the mint. So I would say that's another good introductory tool. I'm kind of looking through my virtual setup right now. Having a good wine key to open up wine bottles is a must. You probably already have one of those at home. Mm-hmm. Some sort of bottle opener is going to be a good one. If you find yourself going to a lot of parties and doing bartending kind of remotely, getting yourself a good bag. Chefs, when they travel to different restaurants, have their knife kit.
Right.
It's kind of knife roll. They make those for bartending to put all your tools in. I have this great backpack right here from, I think it's Mulhaven is the name of the group. They actually don't make it anymore, but they make a variation. So I can put six bottles in here. I can put all my tools. And if I have to go on the news, because I go on the news, you know, probably every other month, I can bring all my stuff with me and keep it very compact. And it's a nice setup. Or if I go to podcasts.
There you go. Yeah, which has been outstanding. This cocktail is great. So we know we're getting into that holiday season, you know, and whether or not, you know, you're visiting with family and you want to have some drinks, or you're just socializing with your family and friends and having some of those drinks, what are some ways we can avoid that next day hangover, that big crash at the end of the night that some of us have because we overdo it a little bit?
Sure. And, you know, just as the way you would watch your eating, because you know that you're going to gain weight, like you almost have that mental feel for how much you can eat, you want to watch that when you're drinking as well. So maybe when you're not at a party, you know, watch yourself at your house and see kind of what your limit is. Unfortunately, the more limit you get, the worse that it is for your body because you're really training it to overindulge. So I'm not saying to train to drink more. I'm just saying to, learn what your body reacts to.
Right.
Then when you do go to these parties, you'll know what your limit is. I also like to say, you know, put some sort of non-alcoholic drink in between your regular drink. That could be water. That could be soda, you know, LaCroix or whatever. Not a hard seltzer. That's not helping. But, you know, there are a ton of great options now because we're getting all these great craft sodas. There are some craft sparkling waters that are coming out. Locally, we have two products I'm a huge fan of, Casamara Club and Wingman Water. Wingman Water actually kind of made a product to go with your cocktail, so you're hydrating at the same time. It's your Wingman. Casamara Club is actually an Amaro-flavored soda that is sugar-free or very close to sugar-free with these great Amaro, these Italian flavors in it, so these herbs and spices. And both those products are taking off and doing well. And if you don't see yourself as a drinker, bring something like that to a party because I'm sure there's other people out there that aren't drinking.
Right.
We just left, dry, sober November. We're going into dry January. Getting these products out there and getting people more familiar with them only encourages other businesses to do it. And a big thing with Nick Drinks is never overindulging.
Mm-hmm.
It's drinking good stuff. And if that's non-alcoholic, if that's coffee, if that's tea, if that's soda, that's cool. Just drink cool stuff.
Yeah, and especially, you know, call a ride, don't drink and drive, all those great things, so
there's
important.
There's no excuse now.
When no,
we were
no,
kids,
no.
We were in college.
Right.
You kind of drove
we
home.
We were kids.
I definitely remember times that there was no way in hell I should be driving home.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and
it's just people make bad choices, but,
totally
you know, and right now, there's no reason. I mean,
no.
There's Lyft, there's Uber, there's all those great things that you can do. And then, you know, there's many family and friends out there, I'm sure, that would pick most people up. So, you know, definitely
post on Facebook.
Check on that. Yeah,
someone will find you.
Yeah, somebody will find you. Just take care of yourself. You know, before we kind of close out the show, we do a couple things. One, I want to definitely make sure people know how to find you, Nick. But I also, we have a reoccurring segment when we have parents on, and I know you're not a parent.
I know, but
we do a thing called things we can't wait to see through our children's eyes. But I have want to take a player variation on that for you. Where is like your kind of dream place to visit and have cocktails? Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot, but there's a lot of places all over the world. But
yeah.
I mean, it can be anywhere. It doesn't have to be in the United States, or maybe we do. One in the Michigan area that maybe you haven't gone to,
yeah,
which I'm sure you've been to most of them, and one worldwide.
Yeah. So I would say if you were to ask me this last year, it would have been London because, okay, you know, cocktails are really an American invention. So many of the great places are here, but London during Prohibition kind of took it over. So I would say kind of as a backup to that would be Paris. Last time I went to Paris, I wasn't of drinking age, and they have a lot of great bars there because, you know, when people left for Prohibition, they went and they worked out there. So I think that would be a great dream place to check out. And on top of that, just I think Mexico. We're so close to our southern friends that drinking the mezcals and the tequilas and all those great things down there at the source, because we don't get so many of them up here, that would also be a good dream. Kind of locally, and this just recently opened up, in Grand Rapids, there's this place called Max's. It's a brand new tiki bar that actually has a partnership with some of the guys on the West Coast that make the original tiki bars. And they built this huge multi-storied metropolis of tiki. I've driven by it. I've never been in Grand Rapids when it's been open. So I need to make a point to get out there when I can safely drive back home or stay overnight to enjoy that space. But that, I would say, is on my current list of things I want to check out.
Nice, nice. So, you know, before we close it out, it's been a pleasure. This cocktail did go down very, very well. But tell us how folks can find you and where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Yeah. NickDrinks.com. I post a number of things on there. You can check me on YouTube at YouTube.com/NickDrinks. Or on Facebook and Instagram, I'm NickDrinks.com spelled out. And, you know, it's nothing super regular. I still haven't kind of figured this out after 6 years, but some sort of content is going to be posted there throughout the week.
Mm-hmm. Cool, cool. We'll definitely put it all in the show notes, too, so folks can find you and interact with you, too. Don't forget, you know, we are on Instagram as well. Search for us, the Dad Experience Podcast. You can find us on most social media networks. Have a question for me? Maybe you have one for Nick. You can email me, experienceanddad@gmail.com, and, you know, I'll get in touch with them, but I'm sure you can find them on most major outlets as well. But, Nick, it's been a pleasure to have you on. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing your expertise with our audience.
Cheers. Go green.
Yeah, go white. All right, folks, and we will catch you next time on The Dad Experience.
This podcast is a proud member of Parents on Demand, a network of high-quality shows for families just like yours. Download our free network app on Apple and Android and listen to your favorite episodes on the go.